Just a quick review of what we went over Sunday. We studied about the death of Absalom. David had begun to age, and that was showing up in his military ability. There were those who wanted to assassinate him, and he was told not to go out into battle anymore because of the focus on him. We actually looked at Sheba's rebellion and how that ended with his head being thrown over the wall, which was a wise move because it saved the city with just sacrificing him. Joab killed Amasa. He was a competitor for the leader of the military, so Joab put an end to that, as he did other people. We looked at God's punishment of Israel with a famine because of what Saul had done to the Gibeonites, and the restitution that was made for them was the giving of 7 of Saul's descendants. David numbered the people. He sent Joab to do that, and that was not the right thing to do. Satan had somehow entered into that action. And so David was given 3 choices for punishment. A famine, 3 months of being pursued by his enemies, or pestilence by the Lord. And since he knew that the Lord had mercy, he chose that. 70,000 people died as a result of that. Others were about to die, but the Lord intervened and stopped it. David built an altar there at the threshing floor of Arunah, and we talked about the fact that he would not accept that free from Arunah because that would make it worth nothing. So, any other questions, comments about that lesson before we get into tonight's? Well, tonight is lesson 19. We're going to be looking at David's preparation for building the temple. We've had this subject a little bit before, briefly, so it won't be totally unfamiliar to us. We'll talk about why David simply was making preparations and not actually building the temple himself. Why did he say he was making preparation for the temple? And by the way, our text begins in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 5 says, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced. The house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all the lands. Therefore now I will make preparation for it." So he wanted to make sure that all the material was there, the preparations were done, because it was going to be for the Lord and not for man. It was magnificent, so it involved a lot of materials, a lot of work went into just actually getting the materials ready. What does the scripture tell us some of the materials that David actually gathered for the temple? Exactly. And there was a lot of the gold and silver. Verse 14 continues, says, "Now behold, with great pains I've prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver." And then the bronze and the iron were so much that they were beyond being weighed. They were in such great quantity. And then this land said, the workers had begun to hewn out stones for use, and there were carpenters, masons. Verse 15, "men who are skillful in every kind of work." And we'll talk about the workers in a little bit. Now, what reason did David give for God's thwarting his plan to build the temple? You know, he planned to build it earlier, but the prophet came to him and said, you're not supposed to do that. What was the reason? That's right. And he wanted someone who was during a time of peace to do this. David accepted that. Actually, you know, he talked about all the material, but to whom did he actually give credit for the material for the temple? That's exactly right. And that's a lesson for us today. I think when we give, simply as the contribution on the Lord's Day, where did we get it? We got it from the Lord. Chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles and verse 14, he said, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee." So, as Leonard said, just giving back to God what God had given them. Okay, the people gave of their means. What was their attitude during this time as they were making their offering? Reluctant? Willing? Chapter 29 still, verse 17, "Since I know, O my God, that thou triest the heart and delightest in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy of I have seen thy people who are present here make their offerings willingly to thee." Another lesson, you know, we should make our contributions willingly and cheerfully. What did David say of the offerings that were made? I guess basically we answered that. They were done willingly. All right. As a part of the instruction, as a result of the temple being built, the Levites' duties would change. They would no longer be needed to carry the tabernacle and so forth for its service. So what duties were to be given to them when the worship actually moved from the tabernacle to the temple? There were just a host of duties, and we'll go over those a little bit later. So aside from the priests, and this is related, what other citizens were organized to fulfill responsibilities to David's government? Well, as Brad alluded to, there were musicians, there were singers, there were gatekeepers, keepers of the treasure, outside duties, commanders of the army, officers of the tribes, those that looked after the storehouses, those that looked after the agricultural workers, the vineyards, the trees, the oil, the cattle, the donkeys, the flocks. There were counselors, there were tutors, so very specific assignments. Right. Right. You remember in our first lesson, Samuel was really reluctant for the people to have a king, but God's instruction, he did provide for them, but he gave them several warnings. And this, just to review those, it's been a while since we looked at them. "He would take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots among his horsemen." We've seen that happen. "They'll run before his chariots." We've seen a couple of people use 50 people to run before the chariots. "He'll appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties. Some will do his plowing, some will reap his harvest." We've looked at those duties. "Some will make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots." Not just the sons, but the daughters would be used for perfumers and cooks and bakers. "He would take the best of their fields, their vineyards, olive groves, give them to his servants. Take a tenth of their seed of their vineyards, give them to his officers and servants. Take their male servants, female servants, best young men, donkeys, use them for his work. Take a tenth of their flocks, and they would become his servants." So we see a lot of these things, even as we've just looked at, a lot of the duties that were assigned. The vineyard workers, those that took care of the flocks. Yes.
God's plan and stuff.
Yes, good point. I was thinking, and I know a lot of time has passed, but I wonder if they, if they ever thought back on those warnings that they were given when they were, you know, working out in the field and the groves and so forth. Other comments? Kevin. All right. There was one particular verse that mentioned the sons of Aaron. Actually, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now the division of the descendants of Aaron were these. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no son, so Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests." Why did only these two serve as priests? What was the background with Nadab and Abihu? Yep, Leviticus 10. "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." It talked about the divisions in the army. How many men were in each division of the army? Chapter 27. 24,000. David talked to the people and gave Solomon an admonition. What did he tell Solomon?
"In the hearing of our God, observe and see after all the commandments of the Lord, searches all hearts, and he will let you find him."
Very similar to what Samuel told the people when he renewed the kingdom. And going a little bit further, what did David ask God to give Solomon? "Give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and to do them all, and to build a temple for which I have made provision." That's verse 19 of chapter 29. Did David get with the leaders, the wise men who were in his circle, the architects, and come up with the plans for the temple and the organization that we talked about? Or where did he say the plans originated? God gave him the plans. Yeah, there's a lot of religious groups that go all out to build a house, but God looks to the heart of people.
There's a lot of similarities because these buildings,
there is.
Of course, they are similar.
Right.
And so.
Good. Great comments. Anything that's mind-boggling? All right. The. Certainly.
Most critical distinctions between the law.
Great comments. Anything else? 170 billion with a B.
Thank you. One more thing on that point about David. God said it's not the right thing. And I think the same thing.
Yeah, it wasn't a punishment for what he had done. It's just, as you said, it wasn't the appropriate person. Excellent.
Think about this. Sure. For what David did, so much is written. You wouldn't read about anything he did. This is God's revealing.
And he could still be a man after God's own heart because of his acknowledging and repentance of his sins.
Do that or not.
Excellent. It was, I think, noteworthy to note that the plans, to the level of detail that they went, back in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, beginning in verse 11, David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, storehouses, upper rooms, inner rooms, room for the mercy seat, the plan of all that he had in mind, for the courts of the house of the Lord, for all the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God, for the storehouses of the dedicated things, for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the services of the house of the Lord, for all the utensils of service in the house of the Lord, for the golden utensils, the weight of gold for all utensils, for every kind of service, for the silver utensils, the weight of silver for all utensils, for every kind of service, the weight of gold for the golden lampstands, and so on and so forth. Every detail was provided. Okay, the next question is going to ask, kind of going back maybe a little bit to Sunday's lesson, which of the feats of David's mighty men do you think is most impressive? Well, before I ask you to answer that, I'm going to give a few examples. Joseph Basabath is mentioned. He slew 800 at one time. Eleazar, after he fought the Philistines, the people returned only to strip the slain and take spoil. Shammah, he defended a plot of ground full of lentils. And it's also noted that surrounding Eleazar and Shammah, the Lord provided a great victory on both of those. Abishai killed 300 with a sword. Benaiah killed two Moabites, killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day, snatched an Egyptian sword away from him, and killed him with his own sword. And there are other mentions in 2 Samuel 23, 24 through 39. So back to the question then, which of the feats of David's mighty men do you think is most impressive? Yeah. Yeah, that's in 2 Samuel 23. Well, actually, let's look beginning in verse 9. After Jehoshabasheba, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Elohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there to battle, and the men of Israel had withdrawn. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. People returned after him only to strip the slain. Now after him was Shammah, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop, for there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Eleazar. Yeah, he was certainly impressive, and I thought about the snowy day part. I guess it's maybe harder to kill a lion on a snowy day. I mean, from a practical standpoint, you know, you're told. Okay, any comments about the others? Kevin. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very honorable man. And there were others. The last question lists some descriptions of David that David used in his song of praise to show God's care and protection of him. I think we've seen that throughout his reliance on God, how God has, you know, given military victories. He's protected him so many times from his enemies. Takes us just about to the bell. Any other comments about the lesson tonight? We're looking forward to the next quarter of Stan directing. All right. Lord willing, then on Sunday we'll look at Adonijah's rebellion, lesson 20 from 1 Kings chapter 1 and 1 Chronicles, the last part of chapter 29. So look forward to that. Thank you again for your comments. As I said, I think we're just about up against the bell.